And today we have the workout series. So I'm going to call up Pastor Mark. Let's give him a round of applause as he comes up.
Thanks so much, Asher. So yes, we're involved in this really, really amazing series. You'll notice we're very differently laid out today. It's to make sure no one's too close to each other, and you'll see why a bit later, why it's unique and different. But we'll rearrange just now, because you'll find out why. You're going to need space today, okay? You're going to go somewhere that you've never been before, and you're going to experience something that you've never experienced before, and it's going to rock your socks. So if you've got socks, just make sure they're on properly. Okay. Make sure they're on properly. So in this term, and can you believe it? This is nearly the end of term. You're on your way to your holidays. Do you know that? You might make the first term at school. It's a high likelihood of getting passed, okay? So if we look back over the last how many weeks? 7 weeks. We've looked at disciplines that help us get spiritually fit, and we've got a couple more to deal with in the coming weeks. And today is what? What are we going to be looking at today? What discipline do you think we need to deal with today? Who's got an idea? Anybody? What would you like to deal with today? Anything you want, we'll deal with that. Anybody? What disciplines do you think we haven't covered? Do you think there's any more? Well, we've run out of them, so we're going to make up one. I'm going to call it medication. Oh, no, wait, not medication. Meditation. Okay? So this is a chance to speak, because you're not going to be speaking with each other much today. But what do you think meditation is? So lean across the way and ask someone near you without moving your seats. What do you think meditation is? So I'm going to show you a picture of meditation. That's a photograph of meditation. Can you see it? What's the car doing? Chewing. What does a cow do? Does it chew its food? Does it just swallow the food whole? We've got a Siberian wolfhound at our house, and anything he takes, even a big chunk of meat, it's a one-way process down, and it doesn't come back up. A cow apparently has a whole lot of different stomachs, right? So it takes the grass in, and then it chews it a bit, then it sends it down to a stomach, then it comes up to another stomach, and then comes back. It's like really gross. But it's this idea of chewing the cud, like over and over again. Ruminating is the word for that process that's happening with that cow, and it makes the most delicious milk you could imagine. And so let me suggest that meditation is a process of the heart and the mind. Okay, so it's my mind is involved and my heart is involved, in which two things, ideas or concepts and words, events and stories, here we go with the chewing the cud, are pondered. What does it mean to ponder on someone? You can't get out your mind. You're just thinking about it over and over again and savored. You know, when you get that pudding, like at the leaders' meeting today, we're having peppermint crisp caramel mousse pudding. It's going to be a moment to savor. You're just going to take one teaspoon and you're going to say, no, not now. I'm not putting more in my mouth. I'm savoring it. I'm experiencing it. Why? So that discoveries are made, so that God's grace is experienced, and our relationship with God is deepened and enriched. Don't you want to do it? I mean, like, oh my word. All that is going to happen when I chew the cud or when I meditate. So let me ask you, so why do we do it? Well, this is what the scripture says. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Look at the dude just like getting into the word. It's like, this is the best novel, book, textbook I've ever read. I'm enjoying it. Look at this kid. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditating on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Why? then you will prosper and be successful. Or you will be prosperous and successful. So stand up if you want to be prosperous and successful. You don't have to stand. How? By meditating on the word. Do you want to be prosperous? How many of you want to be dirt poor, broke, and a bum? Yeah, it is sitting down now. You can sit down if you don't want to be. Stay standing if you want to. Okay? So what do you have to do? Meditate. Keep the book of the law on. So why do we do it? We do it to be with God, the lover of our souls. We do it to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? Stand. No, I'm joking. You want to be blessed, don't you? Like, yeah. Who wants? Stand up if you want to be cursed. Nobody. Nobody. You're just shuffling and getting. Yeah. To be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. To change. To be bold, confident, mature, etc. What about to be fruitful? To have fruit growing out your ears. I grew up with my dad saying, don't eat granadillas. Don't swallow the pips or pomegranate pips because the tree's going to grow out your ear. It scared the life out of me. Every morning I'd wake up, ooh, there's a little tree growing out my ear. It used to scare me as a child. But you'll be fruitful and you'll be prosperous. But hold on, Mark. I've heard some really kinky stuff about this meditation stuff. Aren't there dangers? Well, there is Eastern meditation that I think can lead you astray. There are practices, and no, we're not going to teach you to hold your fingers in a weird way. We're not going to intertwine our legs and do yoga and stuff like that. But long before that was happening, there was biblical meditation. We're not actually going to empty our minds. That's the major fundamental difference. We're going to focus. We're going to focus our minds on God. But there is a danger that you could float away, that you might just levitate. And then before you know it, you open your eyes and you're like a mile high and you're over China. So it is dangerous. Make sure you hold something heavy when you meditate, like your feet, if you've got size 10 feet. No, that's not going to work, hey, because then you're like upholding the feet and you're just floating with the feet. I think I'm joking, and I think that's Photoshopped. So it's okay? You'll be okay. So how? Let me give you some brief guidelines, and then we're going to do it. How about that? And you can experience the blessing for yourself. So it's good to maybe set aside a time. Maybe say each day I'm going to have a 5-minute time to meditate. Apparently, even... what's that auntie's name who has a talk show? She's got short blonde hair on her afternoon TV. Ellen says it's changed her life. Okay, she's in transcendental meditation, which is a little scary and freaky. But a regular time, apparently, is key. Second, I want to find a place free from distractions. No barking dogs, maybe. Then I want to get into a comfortable posture. You put your one leg behind your head. No, that's not comfortable. That's just contortion. But you sit straight. Let's practice that. Sit straight where you are. If you've got a backpack on, you'll probably want to put it down. You put your feet on the floor, okay? You don't put your feet on top of each other because that's going to pain you. So nice and flat on the floor, comfortable. You're sitting down. You're going to close your eyes. Prayer doesn't have to be done with shut eyes, but in meditation, it helps to keep distractions away because otherwise you might see your textbook and then you're like, oh no, I need to study. And then sometimes just sitting with your hands open or at the very least comfortable. Just comfortable, however you choose, like that. And you just in that relax. You can just do this with your shoulders a bit, unwind, and you're like, dude, I'm cool. Okay, so it's not a natural position, but it's natural. Then you come, sometimes I find it good to bring a pen and paper with me. Just put it next to me wherever I'm sitting, because if some idea comes to mind and it's bugging me, I can just write it down by airtime. and then I can carry on with my meditation, because the mind's going to bug you the whole time. And then there's some techniques. We've spent a lot of time this term talking about scripture, reading scripture, getting out of it, stuff. Remember, we did REAP last term even, and this term, and the last time I preached was on scripture. We're going to teach you how to do palms up and palms down today. It's going to be a fascinating experience. We're then going to learn to meditate with the Jesus prayer, okay? And then we're going to do some centering prayer. Are you up for this? So it's time to practice, okay, for the big game. So we're actually not going to practice scripture meditation. I'm going to bring scripture into some of the others, but it's the fundamental one, okay? So whenever I open the Word, I read a passage, I don't just read and go, I stay with it. And what I could do, I could read it through slowly, make sure I'm beginning to engage with God about what I'm reading. So maybe I read something like, "For God so loved the world." And I even just pause there and I'm like, "God, you loved the world. You made it. You're the creator. You are like just awesome. You made everything. You made the hippo and the giraffe and the dinosaur and Mario. You are incredible, God." And you just stay in that engaging. It's not just saying the scripture, but it's engaging with the content. That whoever believes has eternal life. God, thank you that I'm believing in you. You begin to apply it to your life. Lord, help me share it with others. Help me love you well. And before you know it, as you're engaging in your mind with the Word, maybe the Bible's open in front of you, you're just applying it to your life. And finally, you're praying it through. You put your name in there. God so loved the world that if Asher, I, believe in you, I will have eternal life and I won't perish. Okay? And so, as I said, I'm going to bring it in. I just don't want to budget time for that because I think it's the foundational and most straightforward one. Something happened to me yesterday that could have cost my life. At 120, 130 on the freeway near Pretoria, I had a blowout that big on my tire. And I first, for a split second, I thought the poor guy next to me had a problem with his car because it sounded like his car was exploding. And then I realized, uh-oh, it's me. And my car started to, it's the bum thing, everything today. It's about, there was the back of my car and made it to the side of the road and shredded tire. And I was like, after I changed the tire, these trucks were trying to bash me over. One time I just pushed a truck and it just smashed like it was the Avengers or something because it was going to knock me over. And after that, the adrenaline was going as I got going after changing the wheel. And all I did is I just put, where I was driving, I put my palms down. Just one. I do sometimes drive with my knees, but don't try that on the freeway. And I just said, "Lord, I release whatever has just happened to you. Any concerns I have that another wheel's going to explode any minute," because there was a confidence moment. And I just did that for a few minutes, and I just felt I was letting things go by putting my palm down. And then I turned it over, and as I drove, I didn't shut my eye, because I'm now doing 120 k's an hour. It's not wise. You can blink, but not shut your eyes. And I just said, "Lord, I receive peace. I receive your grace. I receive mercy. I receive your protection," because clearly, I mean, I saw one angel in the front next to me actually get out the car on that side when that wheel went, because I think that angel was scared of getting his face like smashed, you know what I mean, when we rolled. But fortunately, there were three big angels behind me, and they held the car on the ground, you know what I mean? They're like, "No, I didn't really see that." But I think maybe we'll learn one day that that's what happens. But as I did that, palms down, palms up, speaking to God, all the stress, that adrenaline just started to leave my body, and I was calm. And so that's what I want you to try, okay? So I want you to sit really comfortable. We're going to play some music in the background, no words, just a funky beat. You don't need it, but it's there. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lead you in this moment. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just come and we just seat ourselves in your presence. We thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that we are your children. And we come in the next few minutes to do two things in your presence. One, to release our concerns as we symbolize that with our palms down. And two, as we turn them over, as we lift them up and we receive from you. So right now we come, we place our palms down, and we're going to tell you the things that we're releasing before you in Jesus' name. Frustrations, concerns. Release a challenge to God. Something holding you back. Some habit. Sin we've been struggling with. Something we're scared of and that's going to happen in this week, we release to you. Thank you, Lord, that we can roll our burdens onto you. Thank you that we can cast our worries, our concerns, our cares onto you. Thank you for the peace that's starting to come as we turn our hands over, as we turn our palms up and begin to receive from you. We breathe in your peace. Your love. Mercy. Lord, what do you want to give me right now? My hands are open, I receive. The Lord for what he's given you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I did it after a near fatal accident. You can do that anytime. You can be about to walk into exam. You can just be starting your day. You're concerned about something. You just, you know what? I'm going to let that go. Palms down, palms up. Don't worry about remembering all this. There's a very comprehensive handout that you're going to walk away with this morning. What about a prayer that's been prayed for almost as long as the church has been going? In fact, since Bartimaeus, a blind man, said, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And this has become known as the Jesus Prayer. It's a two-line prayer. It's almost like I could breathe out and breathe in saying it. "Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me." It's a way of just engaging with God, the Son, Jesus, and also just saying, I need mercy. I need grace. How many of you need mercy and grace? Okay. Anyone don't want mercy and grace? Because we'll make sure you don't get any. No, we all need it, right? We need mercy and grace. And there's one way to do this is to actually start out loud. Eyes open maybe, because it's maybe not a phrase that we're familiar with. But I'll begin by speaking it loud, and we'll say it together a few times. Then I begin to say it silently, almost a whisper under my breath. And finally, I go inside, and there's not a sound being heard, and it's just prayed from my heart. Let's practice it together. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's try again. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, sinner. It's almost like I'm that blind guy, right? Coming to Jesus. And Jesus is there. And maybe I can begin to see Jesus in my mind. And I'm walking up to him. And whatever my thing is, his was blindness. Maybe mine is difficulties or challenges or struggles or something. But as I walk towards him, I look him in the eyes and I say, what do I say? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So let's say it out loud a few times. It helps to focus the mind, to bring that, I mean, almost that picture as I'm facing the cross and Jesus is there. And then we're going to pray it silently, and then we're going to pray it without a word on our lips. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Silently now. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, sinner. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Take it inside now. See Jesus stretching out his arms, embracing you. Healing that thing that's bugging you, giving you sight, giving you wisdom, giving you strength, grace, mercy, giving you power. Thank him. Thank him for what he's given you. Amen. Notice I messed with the words a bit of the prayer during that. And that's when you personalize it and make it your own. You might start off strictly doing that, but at some point, because the original prayer says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And maybe that means something to you. But my Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God does. He answers that. Okay? The Jesus Prayer. One more for this morning. One of the other practices, which is sometimes called contemplative prayer or contemplative meditation, is a little different to the other ones in that I'm bringing myself to be with God and I'm not filling it up with my words. Okay? This, if there's a continuum of me speaking, almost speaking out scriptures, you know, there's often scriptures that have repetition, holy, 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 or there's a psalm that keeps saying the Lord Almighty, you know, and the Lord reigns, and it repeats all the time. But in this kind of prayer or centering prayer, it enables me to just come and to sit in God's presence. And maybe I'll give you Isaiah 6, I'll share that, and that can be the context in which it happens. But What you do is you choose a word that you say when you need to stop distractions distracting you. Okay? So let's say I'm in the throne room, I'm just with God and it's awesome, and I'm looking at him, he's looking at me. It's like a candlelight dinner, right? And he's on that side of the table, I'm on this side, and then I think like, my pocket money's running out. And what I do is I use my prayer word, which might be Jesus or Father or Abba or Spirit, just one word prayer. And I don't say it over and over again. It's not a mantra or something like some Eastern thing, but it's just allowing that word to keep me focused on my experience of Jesus. Okay, so I want you to think of a prayer word that you want to use. And of course, over time, you can change it. But in a sitting, you're going to keep that one word. So it might be Jesus, whatever you relate to. Lord, Father, everyone got a word? The goal is actually not to use the word, because I'm just bringing myself to be with God. It's like two lovers. You know, if you've been in love, stand up. You've been in love. Sometimes you don't need to speak. Guys, sometimes we do need to speak to girls. Just saying, speaking is healthy. But sometimes we just want to be, just enjoy watching the sunset. You don't have to like, oh, there's indigo. Oh, it's orange. No, you just like, so cool, you know what I mean, that moment. No, you don't, because it's like, not yet, later, it's too soon, later, next year, after you pass your matric exams, like Usher, after. So I'm going to set the scene, I'm going to take you into the throne room in prayer, and then I want to leave you there, and I just want you to be with God, not think about anything. The moment you think of anything, what are you going to do? Say the word. Quiet, my mind, my heart, on your lips, however you want to. You can scream it if you have to, but don't, because it's going to scare the children. Okay, let's pray. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, angels, each with six wings. And with two they were flying, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they covered their eyes. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is full of his glory." The sound of their voices, the doorposts of the temple shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried, "for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Then one of the angels flew to me with a live coal that he had taken from the altar, touched my lips, and he said, "See, your sin is taken away, your guilt is atoned for." And then I heard the voice of God saying, "Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Father, as I sit before your throne, I look up, I gaze upon your beauty, your majesty, your splendor, and I just want to sit and stay in your presence for a little while this morning. Here I am. Thank you, Lord, for this time that I've just been able to sit in your presence, surrounded by the majesty. Thank you that you are on the throne, and that this week can be awesome because my daddy is the ruler of this world. And as I go into my week, this is going to be a week where I am going to be used by you. I'm going to love you more. I'm going to engage more with you. I'm going to let your word
work through me, flood through me. And I pray, Lord God, that I will never be the same because of my relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, find a time during this week. Okay? Find a time where you can just be in God's presence. Tabile's going to hand out the handout. Well, I just mentioned next Sunday. I wanted to do a bit of reflection, what you learned, but I think time's gone, and I want to honor families that are either leaving or something. So next week, Genevieve is going to get us serving. Come ready, wear tackies. Come prepared to make some sandwiches or do something unique, and we're going to serve somehow during this half an hour time. Okay? Up for that? And maybe meet some needs or do something. So, awesome. Have a week. Be sure to build some meditation into your week. Awesome.